Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. I gotta tell you, it is depressing. It really is. It is depressing ever since the Democrats have seized control of the White House and Capitol Hill. Because watching your country go down in a burning garbage, as the Democrats seek to divide and destroy the country, and seeing how nearly 40% of the country is cheering on the destruction of the country, it is depressing. I mean, it's not like the Democrats are very clever at what they do. They get caught all the time, and their lies and deceit and divisive nature is very transparent. And yet, for some reason, half the country is fooled. And part of that is because we have the most dishonest media in the world. I mean, Russia's Pravda has nothing on the dishonesty of the American media. Heck, I bet you there's more honesty in the North Korean media than there is here in the United States. And of course, the media here in the United States, they purposely lie to you and gaslight you. Why? Because they don't like democracy and freedom. They don't like the rags to riches story of the United States. They believe in elitism. They love the whole, you know, elitist, the class system of the old British, right? The class system where you're born into wealth. You're born into, you know, being at the top of society, a class system. And no matter what happens, if you're born at the top, you get to stay at the top. If you're born at the bottom, you have no chance of ever moving up. That is why the Democrats are engaged in the tactics that they are engaged in. And yet, it is very easy for me to be able to take a look at what the Democrats are doing. You know, the lies, the divisiveness, the laziness of it all. And I'm confused, you know, whether, you know, the 40% of the country that supports the Democrats, whether it's because they're really that stupid, or if they're just playing along because they think somehow they'll end up on top. Or at least, hey, you know what? You only live once. I'm not thinking about ensuring that my kids are better off than I am. I'm just looking for whatever government handouts I can get now. And hopefully, I will be old and dead before, you know, it all comes crashing down. All right, so there's a lot of things that the Democrats have been lying about ever since Biden seized the White House. And again, it's not, you know, they're not very good at their lies. They're just supported by a dishonest media and big tech censorship trying to block the truth from getting out. And so let's go ahead and examine this. You know, the lies that they are telling, the distractions that they try in order to divide us, and how it is that they're really just out to benefit the elitists while screwing you, the average person. All right, so they lie, they divide, and then they steal. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a look at example number one. Here's Nancy Pelosi attempting to blame Trump for Biden's border crisis.
But I'm glad you brought up the border, because I do think I commend my colleagues as well as the president for being solution-oriented there. The fact is that the Trump administration made a mess because they did not share the values of any respect for any of the people there. The second R, reconstruct how we deal with this at the border. Again, the Trump people had it wrong, and it has to be reconstructed. And in order to reconstruct, you have to deconstruct. You have to take down some of the things that they have done. And that means that we want to facilitate accommodating, whether it's children coming in so that they are not in the hands of as well-intentioned as the border control is. That's not what they're equipped to do. They can move quickly to OOR, which is the Health and Human Services auspices under which those children would come forth, and most people are being sent back. Most people are being sent back. But you have to have a plan, and you have to have it one that it will work. And And that's what is in the process. And
now, while most of that was just her babbling on with a bunch of nonsense, hoping that using buzzwords will somehow distract from the fact that what she is saying is actual gibberish. But in all of that gibberish, there were a few points that she got out. First of all, trying to claim that Biden is solution-oriented, I got a newsflash for you. Trump solved the border crisis. He had the border basically under control. In the 4 years, illegal border crossing was down to historic lows. And it wasn't until Biden took office that all of a sudden it all came crashing down and it became complete chaos at the border. What is solutions here? How are you defining solution-oriented? You know, Democrats, they create a crisis, they inflict maximum suffering, they try to blame their political opponents, and try to claim that they have a solution by implementing more of the same crap that created the problem to begin with. Biden is not solution-oriented, he is an unmitigated dumpster fire. Now, trying to say that Trump didn't, you know, I got some notes here, but trying to go off and say that Trump didn't respect border crossers? Okay, so when Trump first took office, what did he have to deal with? He had to deal with the dumpster fire that was left to him by the Obama administration, where border crossing was, you know, skyrocketing, kids were locked in cages, and it was just a complete and total mess. What Trump did at the border is, first of all, he's shut down the practice of putting kids in cages. And he made it very clear that illegal border crossing would not be accepted or tolerated. Right? And border crossing and illegal immigration went way down. And the construction of the border wall helped signal that, hey, if you come here illegally, you're not going to stay. Which meant that people decided that they weren't going to make the trip, knowing that they were just going to be sent back home. Therefore, their border crossings and attempts at illegal immigration plummeted to lows. Now, with the Democrats going out there saying, hey, you know what? We're not going to send anybody back. We're just going to accept you all in. It's basically open borders. What happens? Well, now people believing that they'll be able to stay in the country. Well, of course, now they're paying human smugglers, human traffickers, you know, thousands of dollars, which, you know, Biden has been the best for the human smuggling business. And so people are going off and putting their kids in jeopardy. They're putting their kids in the hands of human smugglers who rape, mutilate, and murder those kids. You know, who take them only so far and then demand more money, or they're going to be, you know, raped, mutilated, or murdered. So Biden, you know, his whole humane policy is putting people in danger and getting people killed. And they call that the humane, treating with respect, versus Trump signaling, hey, don't bother making the trip, which saved lives, stopped rape, and stopped funding human smugglers and criminal activities. You know, stopped funding the cartels. You know, it is just amazing. And then what did Trump do for those who did try to come here illegally? You know, he set up facilities where they actually got beds and pillows and blankets in rooms in these facilities. The kids got to go outside and enjoy outdoor activity, phone calls, TVs, PlayStations. It was basically, you know, like summer camp, and a lot of these places looked like schools where they were getting education. Trump was the one who ended the practice of putting kids in cages and treated them with dignity and respect, and all while being able to virtually solve the border crisis. Then Biden gets into office. What happens? Border crossings jump. Kids are back in cages and treated like crap. In fact, you know, some of these cages, they just put up fences under a bridge and then give them a blanket and a pillow and tell them to sleep on the ground. Project Veritas exposed that. So what she is saying is a complete and total farce. You know, they're the ones that screwed up. They didn't have a solution. They created a dumpster fire, which is the hallmark of the Democrats. They implement policies. The policies fail miserably. And then they try to act like they're being humane, that they're the solution, and blaming the political opponents who actually did have the problem solved. It is unbelievable. And the reason why we have a border crisis is because they undid a lot of Trump's policies. You know, Pelosi, but she knows she can get away with this bullshit. And yes, you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to go out and say this. And by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, check the link in the description below and instead go ahead and watch this on Rumble. Everybody who wants to promote free speech should be telling everybody to go over to Rumble. Right? Stop funding the left's ability to destroy the country. You know, but Pelosi knows that she can get away with all of this nonsensical babble and complete fraud and lies because she knows the media is going to back her up. I keep pointing at the computer where the videos are played, but, you know, that's besides the point. But she knows the media is going to back her up no matter what she says, no matter what lie she says. It doesn't matter that the Democrats have created a border crisis, put kids back in cages, and have some families sleeping under bridges outside because the media is not going to cover it. It takes someone like Project Veritas to uncover that crap. The media is just going to go off and try and say, yep. You know, Trump handed them, you know, a crisis and they're doing the best they can to try and solve it. When the crisis was solved and then Biden came into office and it became a crisis again. It doesn't matter to the left. They're going to lie all they need to. And the left-wing media is going to push it. And then Facebook and Twitter and YouTube are going to go off and censor anybody who goes out there and tells the truth and provides the facts and the evidence. And there's a lot of facts and evidence that I can't cover at all on this show. So, yes, here's an example of the Democrats lying, lazily lying, you know, easily debunkable, and trying to divide the country. Because, of course, if you try to point out the truth, they're going to say you're racist. If you say, hey, guess what? If we can't handle importing the entirety of the world's population, then yes, we do need limits. And then we need to figure out what those limits are and the process for admitting people into the country. But pointing that out, and what will the Democrats say? You're a racist. That's right. They're just going to say you're racist because they can't have the debate. They need illegal immigration. Because illegal immigration is basically, well, their way of subsidizing labor for their donors. And we'll get into that more later on in the show. Okay, now, of course, with all the dumpster fires that are going on under the Biden administration, they're looking for a distraction. And one of the biggest dumpster fires that has been rapidly growing under Biden is China. Now, China, which was responsible for a global pandemic, and then they're the ones in which manufactured all the medical equipment, you know, due to all manufacturing going over to China. China lied to the WHO, tried to cover it up. They're responsible for millions of deaths. And they have undue influence in organizations like the WHO, the World Trade Organization, and they're ramping up their military. They're going to be more than just an economic competitor. They're going to be the next big threat of the world. And they're on the march militarily. Now, since China owns the Democrat Party, Biden needs a distraction. So what is that distraction? Russia.
We begin tonight with the Biden administration trying to distract Americans from focusing on America's greatest enemy. Team Biden is slapping sanctions on Vladimir Putin's Russia. Biden laughingly claims that Russia is a national emergency, not the number two economy in the world, China. Joining me now, former acting director of national intelligence in the Trump administration, former ambassador to Germany, and the creator of Fix California, Rick Grinnell. Mr. Grinnell, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Russia is no friend of the United States. I don't want to misunderstand. But they are teaming up with China in military exercises. They are aligning to harm America economically with China. But isn't the real emergency here China, not Russia?
Of course. I mean, look, what Joe Biden did today was manipulate intelligence, and Avril Haines allowed him to do it. Russia is a problem. There's no question about it. But there is no crisis other than, you know, the typical Russia attitude towards Ukraine. Of course, that's always of an urgent matter. That's been going on for a very long time. And let's be honest, Crimea was grabbed under the Obama-Biden administration. So that has been created and been going on for a very long time. China is an actual crisis, and the intelligence will show you that. What they've been able to do with spies and with manipulation of intelligence, and to convince many Democrats to talk about Russia as the crisis, it's a look over their strategy.
First off, it comes as absolutely no surprise that with a Democrat in the White House, government agencies, especially the intel community, is no longer focused on actual intelligence, but are actually populated by partisan political hacks trying to develop a narrative to benefit the Democrats. Now, yes, Russia is no friend of the United States, but they're also a bunch of piss ants. I mean, they're not a world power. At best, you could say they're a regional power, but they're not much of a threat economically or militarily. They're a bunch of talk with no ability to inflict any actual harm or engage in any actual harm on the United States. Now, I know the Democrats want to say Russia 2016, which was all debunked. And even though it was all debunked, the left still tries to push it. But China is the real threat. But you need a distraction. And because they've been blaming Russia for everything, which it's basically been the left propping up Russia, trying to make them look bigger and badder than what they actually are. They're a toothless tiger. Now they're being able to use Russia as a distraction from China. China, you know, well, first off, before we get to that, yes, Russia annexed Crimea. But he did that under Obama, with Biden as the vice president, with absolutely no consequences. The only time Russia actually feels like they can actually get away with doing anything is when a Democrat's in the White House. They know they couldn't get away with squat under Trump. Trump was harsher on Russia than anybody else. But Trump was also tough on China. With the Democrats, China has a free pass to do anything that they want. And we know that China is going to be going after some land, trying to annex areas and territories and claim it for themselves. And then it won't be too long before they seize shipping lanes and then say, you need to pay China for the right to use international shipping lanes. But it's China that is our biggest threat, not Russia. But they need a distraction, because Joe Biden is a dumpster fire. And they can't blame China on Trump after everything that Trump did to keep China in check. And with China having gone through and caused a global pandemic, well, you know, they have to distract from that. For Russia, it doesn't matter that the Chinese owns the Democrats, because the Chinese were able to get a bunch of spies in Democrat campaigns, in Democrat elected offices, you know, as Democrat aides, Democrat drivers, and they got a whole bunch of dirt on the Democrats. Every Democrat is compromised by China. Well, okay, maybe not every Democrat. Maybe that was a little hyperbole. But Democrats have been compromised, especially the leadership and the most influential people have been compromised by China. Remember Eric Swalwell? You know, he dated a Chinese spy. He was sleeping with a Chinese spy. That's how dedicated the Chinese spy is. I mean, I wonder what that spy did wrong in order to deserve such a punishment as to have to sleep with Swalwell as part of her assignment. But hey, but because the Chinese owns the Democrat Party and the Chinese were responsible for a global pandemic and are on the march militarily and are engaged in economic warfare against the United States, well, the Democrats need a distraction, and that's Russia. The Democrats are great. Lies and distractions. but also for distractions, and they engage in division. The Democrats, the left-wing politics is all about division. Divide the people and conquer them. They've been working really hard at keeping us divided, which is the whole heart and soul of identity politics, is to keep people divided, to put people in little boxes and tell them anybody who's not in that box with you is your enemy. They're out to victimize you. They're out to get you. But, you know, you can make temporary alliances, but don't make permanent alliances, because those people will screw you over. And so the Democrats, you know, they use identity politics and division as a distraction from their failures. And again, the things that they claim, the things that they push, are easily debunkable, have been debunked a billion times over. But the left keeps pushing the lies. The media keeps repeating the lies. And the tech tyrants keep censoring the truth. If you try to talk about the truth, then you get banned for violating community guidelines. So here's Bernie Sanders out there trying to walk back some degree of the divisiveness, you know, at least as far as what to do as a solution to police brutality, but still engages in highly divisive language. Take a look.
Your fellow progressive Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib reacted by saying this, and I'll put it up on the screen. I am done with those who condone government-funded murder. No more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. Do you agree with her on that?
I'm sorry, who said that?
That was said by Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib of Michigan.
No, I don't. I think that what we need to do is to understand that there needs to be major, major police reform all across this country. We are tired of seeing the same thing week after week and year after year. We do not want to see innocent African-Americans shot in cold blood.
Amazing. So first of all, he tries to go off and say, hey, you know, I don't agree with Rashida Tlaib, but the police are killing people in cold blood. Now, he wants to go off and talk about doing police reform, but you notice how they never have any answers for police reform, because the only police reform they're going off is saying, hey, you know what? Laws only apply to certain demographics. Other demographics are above the law and therefore can do whatever they want. That's their idea of police reform. The police are not going out there day after day, week after week, year after year, gunning down innocent black people. Now, first off, the media is trying to build up, has been building up this narrative that the police are only shooting black people. I got a newsflash for you. They're shooting people of all colors, criminals, violent criminals in self-defense. But the media doesn't care. You know, 99% of the police shootings that the media reports on is based off of a false narrative. These are people who have committed a crime, resisted arrest, and by and large attack the police. Tried to take their gun, tried to take their tasers, tried to assault them with knives. Are resisting arrest and a physical confrontation. Now, yes, I know there's recently one that apparently she thought she was going for her taser or stun gun and was talking about, you know, I'm going to stun you, and had a gun. I'm not sure where, you know, that goes off, how reasonable that is. But, I mean, she's obviously talking as if she has a stun gun and then grabbed the wrong one. I'm not a police officer. I don't know, you know, in those situations, how well one can think. All right. So that one is kind of a tough situation for me. You know, on the one hand, the person's resisting arrest, and the officer doesn't seem like she's, you know, believe that she realizes that she grabbed her gun instead of her stun gun. You know, it's really hard to judge in those situations what was going through the person's mind. Okay, yes, in that situation, yes, we could see better police training, or hey, you know, you made a mistake, you're fired. All right, but then we get to a situation like George Floyd. George Floyd died of a drug overdose, right? A fentanyl drug overdose. He wasn't killed by the police, and yet, because the media runs with a false narrative and the Democrats don't give a crap about the facts, why not? They don't care about the truth, the facts, science, none of it. They just make it all up and push a political narrative and then try to bend it all to their narrative. But we know George Floyd died of a drug overdose. But then we can go through and we could take a look at all the so-called police shootings. Well, I mean, police shootings of innocent people. Now, first off, the media only shows you when a black person is shot by a white officer. They don't show you the white officer killing the white person, Asian, white, Hispanic, 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 Asian. And the fact that it happens with all racial makeups of cops against all racial demographics. And guess what? Black people aren't even the ones who are shot the most by the police. But if you have a media that is constantly filtering for only one scenario and then constantly barraging you with that while ignoring all other scenarios, and then you have social media censoring and blocking all of the other scenarios, you can build up a fake narrative and get people to believe something that is simply not true. You may have 1% of police shootings in which the person was innocent of a crime and wasn't resisting arrest and attacking the police. But 99% of what they say is complete and total crap. But they keep pushing it because they need to try and create an image that somehow the country is still racist, when really it's only the Democrats that are racist. But the whole calling your political opponent racist has lost a lot of its effectiveness. And so the only way to get that effectiveness back is to try and convince people the country is actually racist. And therefore, you got to filter, spin, and lie about what is going on in the events, what's going on in the country, and in this case, what's going on with these police shooting incidents. Because if you can convince the country or convince a demographic that racism is still alive in the country, then when you go off and you start calling people racist, then that still has an effect. When really, their narrative is a lie. And it's just a distraction. Because if the country wasn't racist, you would have to go off and try and figure out, well, what's the actual problem? Maybe the problem is the fact that where these incidents happen, especially in police shootings with a black person, they're in a high crime area. They're in an area controlled by a Democrat. Isn't it amazing? These racist police shootings, these racist police tend to mostly reside in Democrat controlled areas. Isn't that amazing? But the issue here is that Democrats are controlled in an area. They implemented policies. They failed. They inflict nothing but financial pain and hardship, leaving people in poverty and desperate. And so they will commit various crimes in order to try and make up for the lack of income as the local economy was, well, screwed by the Democrats. And then the police come in, try to enforce the laws. Well, the person doesn't want to go to jail. And the person is told that the police are horrible racists. And the more you try to convince people that the police are horrible racists trying to gun down innocent black people, the more the criminals are going to try and resist arrest and run. Because now, not only are they criminals, but now you give them the fear for their lives. And as far as the criminal aspects, it's not a large portion of the black community, but the portion of the black community that does, you know, disproportionately commit more crimes, well, would they be criminals if it wasn't for them living under the impact and suffering under the impact of Democrat policies. Chicken or the egg, right? But because you've been running this narrative that the police are racist, in order to be able to push your agenda, try and distract people from the failures of your policies, now you create fear of when the cops show up. So now if someone commits a crime and the cops show up, now they're in fear for their life, which only adds to the amount of people who are going to resist arrest, try to get away from the police, and attack the police in order to get away, which only leads to increased police shootings. Because the police got to protect themselves. If someone's trying to go for their gun, attack them, try and beat the holy crap out of them, you know, and threaten the officer's life, well, that officer is then going to go for their gun more often than not. But would that person be resisting arrest and trying to attack the police to be able to get out of the arrest if the left wasn't out there trying to convince everyone that, hey, if you're black and the police show up, they're going to kill you? You know, you ever think maybe there would be less resistance if you stopped trying to convince people that the police showing up means their death? You ever think about this? So this is another situation where the Democrats, in trying to cover up one problem, creates another problem. I mean, think about this. If you were told that if you see this person, they're going to attack you, they're going to hit you, they're going to, you know, threaten your lives, and you're told that over and over and over and over and over again, and then you finally encounter that person, what are you going to do? You're going to immediately be fearful. And that's on top of the fear of the fact that they committed a crime and they know they're going to jail. It's amazing. So they called people racist in order to be able to avoid talking about the failures of their policies or trying to defend their positions. They got very lazy at it. Then calling people racist lost its effectiveness. So then they started going off and censoring the news in order to create a narrative that the country is still racist, so that they can get the power of calling people racist back again, so that they don't have to defend their policies or debate actual issues or talk about actual facts. And yet in doing so, they create another problem that's only getting worse because of what the Democrats are doing. I mean, it's so clear as to what they're doing, the effects of what they're doing, and yet some people are still dumb enough to be able to fall for it. And of course, the media loves it. The media loves this. The media loves all of the violence, the riots, because they're ratings. And whenever a riot breaks out, they go rush to the scene. And then their ratings go up, which also means their advertisement revenue goes up. So every time someone's killed, you know, resisting arrest, and they incite violence, they profit from it. The media, the left-wing media, is profiting. So the Democrats benefit from the death and the violence because they think they can use it to their political advantage. And the media profits from all of the violence through increased ratings as everyone wants to tune in and see what carnage is going on, while simultaneously the media tries to downplay it as mostly peaceful protests. They're just going off and manipulate, lie, divide, distract for their own benefit at your expense. So is it any wonder, though, after this has been going on for so long, that CNN gets called out for their BS, gets called out for what they are doing? And here's what that looks like.
What you think about what's going on here?
What I think about this is all the press and all the extra y'all do makes this worse.
You think so?
Yes.
Now, of course, it's always nice to see, and it's always fun to see CNN being called out on their crap live on air, on their own network. And more people are waking up to what the Democrat Party is, which is why they had to engage in all of the shenanigans that they did in order to be able to have the power that they have now. which is why they need to engage in, well, creating the border crisis, because they need to import more voters. You know, and they'll eventually pass amnesty in order to try and create new voters. Because if you can't get the people to vote for you, and you can't win on the issues, replace the voters. But it's nice that CNN is being called out. And of course, why wouldn't they be? How many times now has Project Veritas caught someone at CNN openly bragging and admitting to the fact that they lie, they spin, and they push knowingly fake information in order to advance a political narrative specifically to try and help the Democrats? And how many times have we now caught someone at Twitter and Facebook and these tech tyrants, you know, and at Google? How many times have they been caught going through and saying, yes, they suppress information, they censor the internet in order to try and push fake narratives, in order to try and specifically manipulate people into voting for Democrats? And maybe it's because of all the times that they've been exposed and bragging about it because of their ego. Hey, you know what? If they're going to engage in such activities, someone needs to know who's the mastermind behind all of the propaganda and censorship to try and, you know, gaslight the people and sucker them into voting for the Democrats. All right. Now, speaking of Facebook censorship, all right, so we got to the point where they lie, they distract, and they try and divide the country. Now, one of the questions here is why? Well, we already covered a couple of the reasons. For the Democrats in office, they're looking to benefit politically from the division. They divide the country, they lie, they, you know, have the media, you know, go through and gaslight the country in order to convince you to vote for the Democrats so that they get into office. And then the Democrats need to keep up the distraction so that you don't see all of the corruption. You don't see the insider trading. You don't see how they write bills such that the majority of the money doesn't go towards the cause or the issue that they claim it's going to, and that it's not there to benefit you, the individual, but rather to be able to funnel taxpayer money to, you guessed it, the elites, the millionaire and billionaire class that fund the Democrat campaigns. They need the two-tier system. And so by lying, distracting, and dividing, they're able to go off and enrich themselves and enrich even further the millionaires and the billionaires, which is why when Democrats are in office, the income gap, the wealth divide only increases. Under Trump, those of the middle class and the lower income scales were actually starting to see their incomes go up. We're actually able to start building some wealth, you know, and some savings. But all of that is gone under the Democrats. They don't want you to see how they are using this in order to screw you and enrich themselves and their billionaire donors. And part of that is they're laundering taxpayer monies through the millionaires and billionaires back into their campaign coffers. Well, of course, after the millionaires and billionaires take their substantial cut of that money laundering operation. And here's a perfect example of that with Facebook censoring information about BLM, Black Lives Matter. Because the leaders of Black Lives Matter, you can say what you want, but they're not stupid. They know that the entire narrative of police shootings is complete BS. They know it's a lie. But it's a lie that they can profit from. It's a lie that they can use to enrich themselves. So they enrich themselves, make themselves a whole lot of money, do nothing to try and help improve the black community. And then, of course, by supporting the Democrats, well, they get even more money. They're allowed to enrich themselves even more. So here's some of the motivations from the Black Lives Matter leaders and why they are knowingly and well, proudly pushing lies and fake narratives because it's all about the Benjamins.
Familiar, doesn't it? Facebook censoring a New York Post report on the multi-million dollars a Black Lives Matter co-founder spent on luxury homes.
Users of the social media giant got this alert that you see right there on your screen when attempting to share the link, claiming the article goes against our community standards.
And by community standards, they mean anything that exposes the left for who and what they really are. Now, it's amazing if you go through and you take a look at the community standards of these tech tyrants. They're vague. They're undefined. And they use them to justify acting as publishers. They're not platforms under Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act. They are publishers engaged in publishing decisions. For them to claim otherwise is basically consumer fraud. They convince you that, hey, they're a platform. You pay them with your personal data. And then they go ahead and they engage in censorship and act like publishers. That's consumer fraud. And considering that we're talking about millions and billions of dollars, that is felony fraud that these companies are engaged in. Okay? But here's another situation in which Facebook is censoring journalism because they don't like personally the information that is being presented, which is basically exposing the fraud of Black Lives Matter and what it's really about. It's about enriching the leaders, them taking in millions upon millions of dollars and spending it on themselves, doing nothing to help the Black community, doing nothing to lift Black people up to a better standard of living. Of course not. They're Democrats. And Democrats spend their entire time punishing minorities. The only thing that's changed between Democrats today and Democrats back in the days of slavery is their marketing plan. Otherwise, nothing's changed. Now they're willing to let a few people be lifted up, you know, as the token spokesperson, the figurehead, and allowing them to enrich themselves so long as they promote the lies that help get Democrats elected. But Black Lives Matter. This is a perfect example of them being exposed of why they are promoting a fake narrative. It's all to enrich themselves. And exposing that, well, just like exposing anything else about the corruption of the left, their lies, and trying to expose what the actual facts and the truth is, goes against community guidelines. Vague and undefined community guidelines that they use as justification to censor the internet. Because they know through a lot of experimentation that by controlling the information you're allowed to see, they're able to basically just control you. It's very simple. We are the products of the information that we consume. So as long as we only see what they want us to see, they get to control us, manipulate us, and try and convince us to vote the way they want us to vote, which is all designed to enrich themselves. And you're not allowed to expose that. And by the way, this isn't the first time. This isn't the first time that they have censored journalists. They censored journalists regarding Hunter Biden's corruption in Ukraine, the influence peddling, the bribery, you know, the corruption of the Biden crime family. They went off and they made sure to cover that up just before the election so that most people didn't know about it. And they're doing the exact same tactics here. How are they able to get away with this? And you know what? The biggest failure of the Trump administration was not going after the tech tyrants, not going after Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act when they had the opportunity. That and allowing the left to actually get away with undermining the administration with a bunch of bogus investigations and fraudulent claims of corruption that never actually happened, when in reality, the left's attacks on Trump was based off of the left's criminal activities in order to do so. So even when the Democrats, you know, engage in criminal activity Well, they never paid the consequences for it. And it's really sad that the tech companies are going off and censoring information, because you know what? You can get rid of 99% of this country's problems, especially 99% of whatever remaining racism is left in this country, just by booting Democrats out of office. They're the cause of most of this country's problems. And they're the cause of almost every moral stain on this country's history. You know, again, we keep coming back to this theme. They lie, they divide, and they distract. And it's all because they don't want you to see how much they're screwing you over to enrich themselves. Okay, so there's another issue here. So as part of the distraction and the divide, the House is currently looking at reparations for slavery, something that no one alive today was ever a victim of or a perpetrator of. And yet, as bad as slavery was when it was happening, they still can't just stick to the facts and the truth about slavery. They have to lie and rewrite the history of slavery. An issue that's already a horrible issue. So let's go ahead and take a look at what that sounds like.
For the first time, a House panel has voted to advance a bill related to potential slavery reparations. What's known as H.R. 40 would establish a commission to examine slavery, as well as discrimination in the U.S. from 1619 to the present. It would then recommend ways for compensation. Democratic Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee sponsored the bill, and she spoke with our Nicole Killian about what's been a decade-long effort.
We had to meticulously put block by block by block to get people to understand that America has never acknowledged the original sin. And that if you look at African Americans today, the disparities that were entrenched in slavery still exist. More and more people understand this. The numbers are stark.
Okay, so you want to talk about dividing the country? How about an issue where you take people who have never engaged in slavery, paying people for slavery, even though those people were never slaves? No one alive today has ever been enslaved or a slave owner in the United States. Not a single person. In fact, it's even worse. You got a situation where you got the descendants of people who fought in the Civil War to end slavery, who will be forced to pay slavery reparations to the descendants of some of the people who were slave owners as slavery reparations. Isn't that horrible? That is just horrible. And they want to go off and try and claim, you know, back 1619. Guess what? The United States wasn't a country in 1619. It wasn't founded. In 1619, it was the British colonies. Right? America didn't start until we gained our independence. So when you wanted to go through and talk about slavery in the United States starting, you know, all the way back, 1619 or throughout the 1600s and early 1700s, that wasn't the United States. We didn't even exist. That was the British Crown. That was Britain who was engaged in slavery in the American colonies. Now you want to go off and go, well, you know, we didn't end slavery right away. Okay, yeah, I get it. But you have to understand the history of slavery itself. First of all, the United States or even the British colonies didn't invent slavery. We're not the first slave owners. Slavery was actually a worldwide norm for thousands of years, with every group of people enslaving every group of people. Or did you forget about the Egyptians' enslavement of the Hebrews? Go back. I mean, that's thousands of years ago. All right, so the United States didn't end slavery, but we were the leaders at ending slavery. And we're the catalyst for ending slavery in 99% of the world. And yet there are still countries out there, you know, that still engage in slavery. Now, you want to talk about the history of slavery? How about the fact that half the slave owners were black? In fact, the first slave owner was black. And there were also a lot of white slaves. I know the left wants to try and ignore that, rewrite history, and say, hey, no, that didn't happen. Those were indentured servants, except for they never gained their freedoms. And, you know, were no different than any other slaves. You know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a damn duck. And there were, yes, there were a lot of white slaves. It was part of the British crown and, of course, Irish, wanting to go off and try and deal with their poverty issue, to get rid of the, you know, peasants and the poor people that were, you know, littering the streets or, you know, in the streets. So they just rounded up a bunch of poor and sold them into slavery. Yes, so you had black and white slave owners and black and white slaves. Right? Now, the United States went off to end slavery. Hey, we paid for that in blood. Now, it's also interesting that if you take a look at the history of slavery, what political party was the defenders of slavery who actually fought in the Civil War to defend slavery? It was the Democrats. So here's an issue here where, okay, just to kind of recap, you have people who never owned slaves, who own reparations to people who were never enslaved. You got the descendants of people who fought in the Civil War to end slavery having to pay for the descendants, you know, for some of them, the descendants of slave owners as reparations. That doesn't make any sense. And you got the political party, the Democrats, who were the party behind slavery, supporting slavery, fighting to the death to defend slavery, now out there using the history of slavery as a political benefit to them, that they're now using their past atrocities, trying to blame the entire country, which, by the way, it wasn't even the entire country. And it wasn't even the majority of the population. Slavery was an action of the social elite. You know, what would be today's group of people? It would be the Hollywood millionaires, Hollywood actors, and the left-wing corporate business interests. The social elites were the only ones who could actually afford slaves. So you had something that happened in a very small pocket of the country. The rest of the country outlawed it. But yet, we need to blame the entire country. But that's par for the course. The Democrats always blame the entire country for the evils of the Democrat Party while they try to go off and take credit for all of the good that the Republicans have done throughout history. And they're just doing this. They know they're lying. They know they're dishonest. But they also see that the black community is waking up to the dishonesty, the lies, and the deceit of the Democrat Party, and how the Democrat Party has been screwing the black community since the founding of the country, and that the only thing that's changed is their marketing plan. So now they're just trying to buy votes. They're trying to buy votes in order to keep the black community in line. Besides, you know, you can pay the black community all you want, but the Democrat policies is destroying the value of that dollar. So in the end, what they're getting is not very much. But it's just designed to divide the country, to distract from the failures of the Democrat Party and what the Democrat Party does. And, you know, distract, divide, while the Democrats, you know, get away with corruption and never have to answer for their failures or their crimes or their historic atrocities throughout history. Sad. Sad. And, you know, there's always going to be the suckers that fall for this. Why? Because of the destruction of the education system, the revisionist history, the claiming education is racist, you know, is what it all amounts to. So they you know, lower education standards, lower testing standards. It's all designed to keep people uneducated, uninformed, along with the daily propaganda and censorship. Because an uneducated, financially desperate populace is easy to manipulate and control. And the Democrats have been destroying the education system for decades now. And it's even gotten worse since the coronavirus. And here is, I believe it's Steve Scalise, I got a clip of this, calling out the Democrats for basically destroying an entire generation who will always be behind now because of the ignoring of the science of COVID in order to keep the schools closed.
You look at school reopenings, and I appreciate Dr. Fauci and Dr. Walensky both said, if you follow the CDC guidance, which says socially distance and wear a mask, every school should be open today. And yet about half of our schools in America are not educating kids in the classroom. And the science is real clear on this. Long-term damage is being done to those kids. Some are committing suicide. Some are turning to drugs. Some have lost a generational ability to have the same opportunity as anyone else. This is a national disgrace. 10 years from now, people are going to look back and go, how did America let that happen to a generation of kids where for over a year they did not learn the same way as everybody else in America learned? When you watch a teachers' union head send his kids to private school while telling the teachers in the public school system that they shouldn't teach kids in the classroom, you want to talk about racial disparity in this country? This is a national disgrace that's occurring before our very eyes.
And of course, that is 100% right. 100% right. And the left doesn't care. Yes, when it comes to the social elite, their kids are getting an education. They're going to the private schools. They're making sure that their kids are taken care of. They're just screwing over your kid. And this is part of the left's destruction of the education system, where they lower the standards, lower the education, rewrite history, and use the schools as indoctrination camps. Why? Because uninformed, uneducated masses are easy to control, especially when you inflict financial harm. You know, when you inflict financial struggles, that makes them even easier. Now they're desperate and uninformed and uneducated. And then they want to go off and, you know, the left wants to go off and say that they are the educated, the college educated. The college education is almost an oxymoron at this time. You know, if you went to college, you're not a very educated person. I mean, sure, you may learn a couple of tasks that you can do. And, you know, and let's face it, when it comes to the workforce, pretty much anybody can learn to do just about any job with, you know, some level of training or just getting into the job and learning. Anybody can learn to do most of the jobs. That is one of the big cons. It's just that most businesses, no, they don't want to do any type of training, and they want to make employment based off of luck. You know, who you know, not what you know. Really sad. But they go off, they dumb down the education system, and then tell the people, oh, yes, you're really smart. You got a piece of paper that tells you you're really smart, when in reality, they're clueless. They don't have any common sense. They don't have any real knowledge of actual history. They're just been indoctrinated with a bunch of propaganda. And now it's even worse because now they've lost an entire year's worth of education. Now, my family, on the other hand, we decided, hey, you know, coronavirus was a great opportunity for us to take our kids out of the public school system and enjoy homeschooling. And I tell you what, my kids are doing better in homeschool than they ever did in the education system. Public education was failing them. They were falling behind on reading. They were falling behind on math. They were falling behind in various subjects. We got them into homeschool. We made more progress in 1 year than the public school system did in 3 years. Right? Especially with my oldest. And they're happier. They're nicer to each other. They don't have the attitude problems. And we're able to enjoy things more as a family because, you know, we realized we were able to provide them better one-on-one education. And we have a great resource. It's, the teacherstreehouse.com? Or is it Treehouse Teachers? I'll have to take a look to be able to give you the specific site. They provide you everything that you need for education materials. We converted one of the rooms in of our house into a classroom. You know, even got a nice TV to display all the PowerPoints and the education videos and all of that good stuff. And they have been excelling. But most people do not have that ability. And so while the social elites are keep making sure their kids are getting an education, your kids are being kept out of the classroom. Which, beyond not being able to get an education, is creating a lot of problems. You know, socializing. You know, they become lonely and depressed. Now, luckily, there's a lot of homeschool groups, you know, that you can find, and you can schedule meetups. So, you know, while the other kids are at public school, your kids and, you know, other homeschool kids can go to the park, play, make friends, socialize. They get to socialize more by being out and about with us when we go to the store for something, or, you know, just engaging in our own interactions. We're able to help guide their development a lot better. And we can filter out all of the propaganda nonsense that the school wants to push. But for the most part, the school is hoping that, you know, you don't go for any alternatives, especially like homeschooling, or you can't afford to do any private school, because they need to dumb your kids down so that they will keep voting for Democrats and keep falling for the lies. Keep falling for the distractions. Keep falling for the division. You know, they got to find more and more ways to create people that do, well, basically create suckers. And because the left hates the United States and wants to see the country fail, the best way to ensure the country fails is to destroy the education of the next generation so that they will actually do worse than the generation that came before them. All right. So I think I'm going to go ahead and end it there. This seems like it has been a pretty long episode. So I do want to thank you, wherever it is you're getting the show, whether you're watching the video, hopefully on Rumble. But if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm surprised you were able to find it. I mean, YouTube has admitted that it is basically censoring, blocking, and preventing certain channels from ever being found, you know, for what they call credible sources. And of course, one of their credible sources is admitted propagandist CNN. All right, so if you're watching this on YouTube, I'd like to know how you found it. But hopefully you got this on Rumble, or maybe you got it on BitChute. Wherever it is, if you're watching this, follow. You know, follow by hitting that subscribe. It doesn't cost anything to subscribe. Hopefully you should know that by now. But go ahead, follow so you don't miss any videos going on. And if you're listening to the audio version of this show, if this is your first time, of course, follow me by hitting subscribe. And try and share this wherever you can. You know, I'd be surprised if you could still, you know, share this on Facebook or Twitter. But hopefully you'll be able to find and share this on Parler, on Gab, on Minds. And I'm hesitant about MeWe because I've had some issues with MeWe. I don't know what the problem is, but they won't communicate where they won't let my page go to public. So I had to create a whole new page, and we'll see how that goes. All right. So thank you so much. Follow, share, leave comments, and I will be back again soon.